Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Because it's Wednesday, we are joined by science communicator Dr. Carl. Dr. Carl, good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Dr. Howard. Lovely to be with you again.
Nice to chat to you. Was Irish coffee a thing in Australia?
Yes, on one occasion, my father bought a set of coffee mugs for my wife, and for his wife, my mother, mm-hmm. and we met in advance, and he got me to, on my little Dymo tape labeling machine, to press out, to imprint Irish coffee, and then we stuck them onto the coffee cups, and we gave them as a present, and we all had some Irish coffee. It was a thing back then.
And it just isn't anymore, hey? It's gone. Like, when was the last time you even saw an Irish coffee?
Well, the latest results from the World Health Organization are that even a single glass of alcohol has effects on your health. But a single glass is pretty small. The risks increase enormously with a second glass. There are zero medical benefits from drinking alcohol. On the other hand, it does help some shy people who are very shy to be able to come up to somebody and finally say, "Hello." but really, there are zero health benefits, but there are many social benefits. Ah. So everything is weighed up in risks and benefits.
What about red wine? I keep reading that there are benefits to having a glass of red wine.
There are benefits from a chemical called resveratrol, mm-hmm. which is present in red wine and in grapes.
Right.
So you eat the grapes, you get none of the dangers of the alcohol and all of the benefits.
Ah, okay. So that's a rather go that route.
Yeah. Alcohol is, as they say about fire, a good tool but a bad master.
All right. I hear that makes sense. So can cows make flavored milk?
Yes. Hmm? All you have to do is give them the right food. So it's well known in France that the flavor of cheese varies between summer and winter. I'm mentioning France because they love their cheese. It also changes if the cow is fed in the mountains or the plateaus or the plains. In Australia, in the Darling Downs, not quite as fancy as France in their cheese, but turnip weed, which is a plant, gives the milk a rather off flavor. And CSIRO, Australian scientists, found that if you give cows a feed of oat and sunflower seeds simultaneously, you get raspberry milk. And this is how it works. Follow a two-step pathway. Mm-hmm. The oats stimulate the growth of certain bacteria in one of the cow's four stomachs. Now, the bacteria are there anyway, but there's not a lot of them. But if you give them oats, they love oats like crazy, and they grow like crazy. So now you got lots of bacteria saying, "Give me some food." They look around, and what is there but sunflower seeds? And they turn the sunflower seeds into a chemical which, if you like the fancy name, is gamma-dodec-cis-6-enolactone, but in plain English is raspberry. And this chemical is so pervasive that it gives raspberry flavor to both the meat and the milk.
Incredible.
And in the case of humans, a study done with 18 nursing mothers in Copenhagen, they were actually breastfeeding their babies, mm-hmm. found that the time for the flavors to come into the breast milk from swallowing the flavor capsules, 1 hour for banana flavor, 2 hours for caraway and licorice, and menthol, about 2 to 8 hours. Now, the thing about the strawberries, is it possible that if you fed enough strawberries to a cow, that it would give strawberry milk? It's possible, but nobody has done the experiment because strawberries are rather special and expensive.
Right, it's easier easier to flavor the milk than the cow, right?
Yeah, so rather than flavoring the whole cow, just get a strawberry and squeeze it. But it'd be an interesting experiment if somebody happens to have a surplus of strawberries, and I think that would be a very rare thing. Do try feeding it to the cattle and let us know what the results are.
That is so interesting. So, and breastfeeding mothers could effectively flavor the breast milk.
They do. And so if the mother likes curries, then the baby will grow up liking that. And breast milk, breastfeeding also helps the baby develop a more sophisticated palate. So babies that are breastfed very quickly get used to small changes in flavor, which means that when they start to eat solid food, they become more accepting on a wide range of flavors once they start to eat the solid food.
Right.
What about non-breastfed babies? Well, maybe you could try a similar priming by giving them a variety of the formula brands.
That is so interesting. And I guess that's also why today, versus when our kids were little, I see that babies from a very young age are fed a much broader variety of foods. We had to start off with, I don't know, that there was some form of very, very bland porridge, and then you'd introduce bland butternut. I don't know. It was very, very, everything was very bland. Whereas I see today, from a very young age, very young kids are being introduced to all sorts of flavors.
It does mean a better outcome. It turns out, doing studies with identical twins, mm-hmm. that if a twin has a more varied diet than the other twin, it has a different and much broader range of bacteria living in their gut. They are less likely to get allergies, less likely to get dermatitis, asthma, hay fever.
Very interesting. Janine says, I want to know who tasted the breast milk. The babies did, Janine. Really, you just got to pay attention. We don't have a lot of time, Dr. Cobb, but how often should we be washing our bed sheets?
It all depends on your local climate.
Mm-hmm.
If it's steamy and tropical and you come back from work all sweaty and you don't have a shower before you go to bed,
mm-hmm.
every day or two or at least a week. But if you live in a cold climate and you shower before you go to bed and you're wearing pajamas, then you can increase that up to 2 or 3 or even 6 weeks.
Wow.
There have been studies done on this. And they're normally, unfortunately, done by the companies that sell sheets. So they try to encourage you to change your sheets and buy new ones. This study done in Britain claims that 4% of all Britons wash their sheets, wait for it, once a year.
Oh, no. Well, it's men. It has to be men, for sure.
Yeah. No, every 2 weeks minimum. So every day you shed 1.5 grams of dead skin cells, which provide enough food to feed 1 million dust mites. On top of that, there's sweat, there's germs from your skin, the body oils, and anything you happen to run into, like pollens or allergens. And then, of course, there's the offshoots of various animals that happen to get close to you. They all end up on your skin. So it turns out that in men and women, men who are in a relationship with a woman wash the sheets every 29 days. Men who live by themselves, 45 days, which might explain why they're still single.
And that's where we leave it, right? Definitely need an Irish coffee after that.